Kneel before Skeletor, mortals! I'm sorry, that was very loud. I've had a lot of coffee this morning, because it's a great day of celebration, people. It is Skeletor Day! And what do we say on Skeletor Day? This is Skeletor, and welcome to an episode of Euphemism Theatre. We're feeling fancy. Do you have a doily for your table and your plate? And do you have a saucer for your teacup with your pinky up and your tea in your cup? I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, it's never good when I've already started. But it's all right. We'll get through this together. Either that, or I will melt down and have some kind of collapse. Welcome to Euphemism Theater. Now, it's been a long time since I've done one of these, because, well, I ran out of ideas for a little bit. But then, a magical thing occurred. You see, today is Skeletor Day! I'm not quite sure why Skeletor has a holiday, but, you know, it happens, so remove the skin from your face so you're talking directly through your skull. Wear nothing but a cross bandolero and a purple fur-lined bikini brief number. And have a very large purple and green saber-toothed cat for a pet. And hope to God he's not colored like that because something is very wrong with his immune system. All that being said, what we are going to do is simply this. The Euphemism Theater, for all of our new friends, is where I do something ridiculous on the mic and try to say it as seriously as possible. Today I'm going to be doing that in Skeletor voice! And I know, this might not be completely Skeletor voice, but you know what? It's the spirit of Skeletor that we carry in our hearts and minds each day, which makes this a pure expression of Skeletor love. And really, who doesn't like a good bone? Anyway, so today, in the Skeletor voice, I shall be reading the 23 funniest Urban Dictionary words and their definitions. I will, of course, try not to laugh during this process, which will be infinitely difficult given the fact that I am using this voice. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Have you strapped in? Good. Here we go. Oh, by the way, this is Urban Dictionary, and while I might sound comical using this voice, all of these will be, in fact, not safe for work. So make sure you have headphones on. I'll sit here and wait. Do 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 do. Do 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 do. Now I'm not paying royalties to the girl from Ipanema people, because I'm Skeletor! Alright, are we ready? Excellent. Let us begin. Charizarding. Charizarding is... Charizarding is when you light a girl's pubes on fire, put it out with your jizz, and then flap your arms and say, "You don't have enough badges to train me!" Used in a sentence, Charizarding with Jenny was a night I will never forget. Number two, balked. To have totally fucked something up, usually by doing something stupid, specifically used to describe technology that is broken. I can use this in a sentence. All of my henchmen totally balked up their attempt to steal Prince Adam because they thought he had him, and then all of a sudden He-Man was there. The sentence they use is, I totally borked my machine installing Windows XP. Of course you balked your machine installing Windows XP. Everything about Windows XP is balked. Number 3. Man stand. The act of a man standing outside a shop while his wife slash girlfriend slash partner shops inside. Man standing involved looking into space at other women, or in this case, in the case of multi-story shopping centers, leaning on the railings of an upper floor watching the people below. I have been man standing outside T2 for an hour, is the example they give. To be fair, though, I wouldn't man stand. Let's face it, my wardrobe is very basic and chic, and so I would go into any shop in the possibility that they were selling fur-lined bikini briefs and matching boots. Munt! The popular Australian meaning is to be broken or unusable. Hey, dude, I drove over a squirrel the other day. I've got it here. Look, it's completely munted. Who collects the roadkill they ran over? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, sure, I'm not one to say anything, because I don't drive a vehicle. I ride on the back of a giant battle cat. But still. Irish handcuffs. Oh, I've used this one many times. When a person is carrying an alcoholic beverage in both hands at the same time. Used in a sentence. Hamish O'Malley. Ooh, racist. Hamish O'Malley was in Irish handcuffs last night at the pub. He always had a Guinness in each hand. Personally, I know about Irish handcuffs. Oftentimes, I get myself into Irish handcuff situations where I'm holding the blood of my enemies in goblets in both hands. Awkward. Number 6. Steve Glansberg. This is very specific. That kid who sits alone at lunch every day, eating his dessert. From Superbad. Seth. All right, let's stop this and just go get some dessert. Evan. No, I can't. I've gotta go meet my counselor. I'm picking out my classes for next year. Seth. What? So you're going to go sit here and eat my dessert alone like I'm fucking Steven Glansberg? Points at Glansberg. Evan, I guess, yeah, I mean, what do you want me to do? Steven Glansberg is going to end up doing one of three things. He's going to either A, become a pornographic actor, B, become a stand-up comedian, or C, end up working for me and trying to destroy He-Man! Oh my god. Oh. What was that? Evelyn had notes. I mean, they did. Steve doesn't have to come work for me. I mean, I do offer medical, dental. You know, we have both maternity and paternity leave. I might be evil, but I'm not a dick. Number 7. Shexting. Texting your friends, loved ones, or even your annoying co-workers whilst taking a dump on the porcelain throne. Shitting plus texting equals shexting. Oh, I sit on a porcelain throne, but my porcelain throne is part of my evil underground lair. Like, I can text people from it, but it doesn't mean I'm necessarily pooping. I don't poop in the middle of the throne room. But I guess, you know, to each their own. So long as you're communicating with people you appreciate, right? I mean, they don't need to know that you're shexting. I feel like that would be rude. Number 8. Gobby. An Australian slang term. Meaning basically when a bloke is fellated by a Sheila. Yes, that. Fellated. What is this? I mean, I would like to know, and I'm sure Evil Lynn would like information as well. Listen, you can be mad at me all you want to, but only one of us remembered our anniversary, and the one who did doesn't have any flesh on his face. Used in a sentence. Got some action last night, mate? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotta go be, mate. Nice work, mate. Number 9. Bye, Felicia. When someone says that they're leaving, and you could really give two shits less that they are, their name then becomes Felicia, a random bitch that nobody is sad to see go, I'm terribly sorry I used the B word. Their real name becomes irrelevant because nobody cares what it really is. Instead, they are now Felicia. Hey guys, I'm gonna go. Bye, Felicia. Who's Felicia? Exactly, bitch. Bye-bye. You know what? I'll be honest with you. Every single time a member of the henchmen leaves, I think it. Because I'll be honest with you. They all were really nice, but they're so determined for murder and mayhem. And sometimes it's just like, I'd like to have a book club. Or perhaps a crochet circle. No, all they can think about is overthrowing the masters of the universe. And He-Man this, and He-Man that. And yes, I too have a crush on He-Man. How do I edit that out? Number 10. Took an L. To take an unfortunate loss and turn of events. Last night, I took an L, but tonight I bounce back. A quote from Big Sean in 2017. I understand taking an L. I've taken many L's, especially when I try to capture Prince Adam. But then He-Man shows up at the last moment. I mean, how does that guy know? 11. Sporking. The act of spooning with the addition of an erection. We fell asleep. Then we woke up in the morning. He was totally sporking me! Okay. So long as said erection is not going anywhere in particular, because consent is important. Number 12. A ham. A ham is someone who says or does silly things to be the center of attention. Although anyone can be a ham, you'll often see this with children who are around unfamiliar adults. That kid is such a ham. When Aunt Laurie came to dinner, he spent the entire time talking in a pirate voice and saying, "Arr!" She thought it was hilarious, so he just kept up his routine the whole night. Can you imagine spending that much time using a ridiculous voice? Just silly. Number 13. Clutch oven. To fart in a car full of people, crank the heat for maximum effectiveness. Mike was driving us to Jake's party and he farted, trapping us in his clutch oven. Ooh, that's a good one. Again, not very useful for me. I ride a battle cat, and every single time I fart while riding battle cat, I just get dirty looks from battle cat, you know? It's not great. It's not great. But we love each other. Number 14, Dirk! Neanderthal patriarch responsible for the great 20,000 BC fire party. Having discovered wine and fire in close proximity, Dirk threw one hellacious rootin' tootin' wild cave party that 3/4 of the known world attended. It was a cave orgy of epic proportion, woolly mammoth cookouts and rock and rolling were just a few of the festivities. Dirk would be immortalized in many cave paintings around the Western and Central Europe. Many thought to be pornographic in nature. The quote, direct quote is, "To Dirk! Cheers!" I understand this. I knew Dirk. He was a nice fella. And then I killed him. I killed him because he had the Sword of Eternia. And how was I supposed to know that the sword just magically, whoop, disappears afterwards? It jumped in the nearest body of water. It was caught by a woman's hand. I don't even know what's going on there. I'm assuming that it was collected by the original owner. Maybe it's lent out like a library book. Who's to say? But All I know is, eventually, Prince Adam received it from his father because nepotism. And now here we are. Sometimes Prince Adam uses it. Sometimes He-Man uses it. They must have some kind of Sesame Street-esque sharing situation set up. I don't know. Number 15. Clam Jam. The female equivalent to a cock block. Tina thought she had this guy at a party, but her friend completely clam jammed her by mentioning she was pregnant in front of him. Oh, that is a serious clam jam, sister. I mean, rude. You don't want to be that guy, do you? I don't think so. So, you just have to be able to get through whatever situation you find yourself in and handle it with a certain level of decorum. I mean, come on. You want to make sure that every single time you encounter people, you don't end up finding yourself in social situations where you might end up clam jamming a friend. Friends don't clam jam friends. There was that one time that Evil Lynn clam jammed Teela, but honestly, I mean, Evil Lynn and I get each other, you know? We're both into the same extracurricular activities. We know each other's likes and dislikes. We don't yuck each other's yums, you know? We have safe words we've already have established. It works out quite nicely, really. So yes, I would not worry about it too greatly. The thing is that it just, you just don't want to be that friend, you know what I mean? Number 16. I see. It's the word everyone uses when someone just told you something and you literally can't come up with anything else to respond with. So in essence, you use I see. Also, used when hearing something really nasty or something you could just have gone without hearing. You commonly use the words I see. In a sentence, yo, so dude, check it out. I went out with Jessica last night, and things got crazy. The dude who thinks he is so uber cool goes on with sick things he and Jessica did for 5 minutes. Yeah, so it was freaking awesome. The other friend. I see. I understand that. Sometimes you just can't, you know? You just can't deal with people. And it's all right. It really is. Sometimes you just end up getting caught up in conversations that you really don't end up feeling like you belong in. And I get that, you know? It's all about understanding one another. You can't really be having conversations with people and find yourself lost in the midst of it. You know? It's just difficult. It's difficult to understand the situations we find ourselves in, especially when it comes to dealing with people that you don't necessarily enjoy the company of. For example, I say, I see to Beastman at least every other sentence. I'll be honest, he smells like a foot. Oftentimes, he doesn't wear pants, and you can see his erection. It's fine. It's fine. So I say I see and move on as quickly as possible, because honestly, I don't need to see Beastman peen. You know what I'm saying? Number 17. Screw veneer. Anything you keep, whether stolen or given to you from someone's house after you slept with them. Laura didn't really like doing it with Chip so much, but she did nab a copy of Time magazine with Mick Jagger on it from his house as a screw-veneer. How do you think I got this giant staff with the demon head and ram's horns on it? Screw-veneer. Wink. Number 18, Karen. Oh, we know these people, don't we? Middle-aged woman, typically blonde, makes solutions to other problems and inconvenience to her, although she isn't remotely affected. Karen sues the local city council after they installed a new stop sign that hides the sun from her window. Oh, Karen, I'll tell ya. I don't like to speak out of turn. And you know I'm not one to talk out of class, but it needs to be said. Faker is a huge Karen. I mean, yes, he's an evil duplicate of He-Man. And yes, I did create him myself. But honestly, he's a deformed clone, and all he can do constantly is try to show me his penis. And I'm like, no, man, I made it. I don't need to see it. It's not my thing. I want the original. Moving on. Number 19. So anyway, so Faker has a nasty habit. Absolutely terrible. Everything he needs to speak to the manager about. And I'm like, dude, we're in a medieval world of swords and sorcery. I ride around on a saber-toothed tiger. There are no managers. Who are you going to complain to? Who? Who? Would you like to complain to your god? The one who made you out of nothing? No! You want to just go around complaining to anybody who will listen. And then I'll walk into the room sometimes, the break room, and they're sitting closest to the vending machine they know I love because they have the Nature Walk bars in them, and I go over to get a Nature Bar, and the two of them, Faker and Evelyn, just go really quiet and stare at me until I leave the break room. Fucking sucks. Anyways, number 19, Beef Walk. Going outside or away from a group in order to fart with less consequence. Person A, where did you just go? Person B, I had to go on a beef walk. Nando's for lunch gave me the peri-peri farts. Respect. I understand. That is also, however, why I keep scented candles around the evil lair, and I always have a can of Febreze handy. Number 20, 420 Blaze It, an American phrase meaning to smoke Delta 9, tetrahydrocannabinol, cannabis or marijuana. Ron J, bruh, I got that kush. Tyrone, yeah, bruh, let's smoke that dank. Ron J, yeah, bruh, 420 Blaze It. Fellas, it's really sad to me that I became such a giant star in the age of DARE and the Reagan administration. Because I'll tell you what, I have always been a proponent of legalized marijuana. Number 21, chipmunking. The act of watching numerous recorded university lectures at 2x speed and a futile attempt to cover an entire semester's material the day before the final exam. Have you studied for tomorrow's exam? Nah, I'm chipmunking all the lectures tonight. Now, I did not know about this one, but I have done it in the past. I mean, usually I listen to my own material at double speed. Can you imagine what this one's going to sound like at double speed? Yes, me at double speed, it would be insane. It would be very interesting to hear. Maybe I will listen later. Maybe not. Number 2. Fucker's remorse. After having sex with a person, one starts to feel shame, disgust, or regret regarding the sex act and wishes they hadn't committed it. Upon waking up next to a donkey, still hungover, Jim starts to remember last night's events and has a serious case of fucker's remorse. Now let me tell you a story. You know, just the two of us. There was an evil eclipse, and we had a little bit of a party, and I will admit, we drank too much, way too much. And I don't remember most of the evening, but what I do remember is waking up in bed, naked, and Evelyn was on my left, and my battle cat was on my right. And I can't remember what happened, but one can definitely say that I didn't have sex with He-Man, and I have fucker's remorse because, let's face it, he's the one I want to be banging. Number 23, resting douche face! I understand this very well. Similar to resting bitch face, when a guy just looks like an asshole, but he's actually a nice guy with the face of a complete douchebag. I have resting douche face! Because I don't have a face! So when people look at me, they're like, oh, he's necessarily evil. And none of them know I do watercolors on the weekend in order to find my zen. They just naturally assume I'm an evil douche. Probably because I'm constantly trying to kill He-Man and take over Eternia. You know. These are the things you deal with. 14 Urban Dictionary definitions that will make you laugh a lot. More than you should. Number 1, French microphone. When someone's sleeping with their mouth open and you fart in their mouth, causing an echo. No! Listen, I am Skeletor, and that is evil. Corn nobble. To smack someone with a fish. I corn nobbled Jason. Smacks Jason with a fish. I mean, that's pretty easy to understand. Have I ever corn-nobbled anyone? I hit somebody with a pterodactyl once. Number 3, chanky. A combination of chunky and skanky. In other words, nasty. The tuna fish sandwich was sitting in the sun all day, so it was too chanky to eat. Oh, I understand. Yes. Number 5, Edward Co... Edward... Edward Cullen. Definition. A psycho who goes into girls' bedrooms to watch them sleep may or may not sparkle. You know what? You know what? I might be evil. I might constantly be trying to kill the masters of the universe and conquer Eternia. I may be trying to get the sword from Prince Adam or He-Man or whoever has it at the time. And sure, maybe along the way I'd like to do butt stuff with He-Man. Maybe I'd like to do butt stuff with He-Man, but I've never Edward Cullen'd anybody because that shit is evil. Number 6, Montana, the most manly state in the Union, where men headbutt bison, punch trout in the face, chop down trees with a gargantuan dicks. Now, I'm a realist. I'm a realist, so I'm willing to admit I'm average-sized. The only penis around here we could chop down trees with is battle cats. Because, whoa, baby. Don't ask me how I know. It's just weird. You're weird for asking. Number 7. Apple! The most badass fucking fruit on the fucking planet. Seriously, this motherfucker kicks the shit out of the pussy orange or banana. This juicy red motherfucker is the best fucking thing that God has ever created. Eat an apple and your dick will grow 3 inches. Excuse me, I have to go buy some apples. Number 8. Shrimp pibbly. Definition. A very, very small penis. I don't really need to use that in a sentence because take a moment, hearken back into your memory, and you've all encountered a shrimp pibbly. You know it. I know it. Let's just sit here in sadness for a moment. Sometimes life is awful and comedic at the same time. Number 9, ghost poo. Definition: A ghost poo is the ninja of the world of shit. It is rare, but I can testify that a healthy diet can produce one. It challenges your grasp of reality because when you look into the bowl, you see that what you've done. Don't worry, everyone does this. There is no smell and nothing there. puzzling enough when you wipe your ass. It's already as clean as, well, as clean as it ever was. I remember one time I had a ghost poo. It was magnificent. I felt like a unicorn who boned a Pegasus and magically got wings in the aftermath. It was glorious. Number 10, canoodling. Canoodling. Definition, the eating of noodles whilst in a canoe. I can't do this. I have a latent fear of noodles. Swear to eternity. Yeah. Something that I've never shared with anyone before. But it's the truth. We're bonding, you and I. We're having this moment right now. Feel this connection. And hopefully, if it's strong enough, you'll help me kill He-Man and take over Eternia! Sorry, that might have been too much for the situation. Okay. Number 11, movie theater physics. Definition, the science of figuring out the distance between the movie theater screen and the speakers to ensure an optimal movie watching experience. There's a sweet spot. We all know it exists. We've all found it. We have memories of the movies we saw there. I had to go back and see Dune a second time. Because the first time I was outside of the sweet spot, sucked ass. I couldn't kill anybody over it. Very disappointed. Evelyn was like, no, we can't be committing murder. I don't know what the murder rules are in Connecticut. What the fuck, lady? Number 12, Farfanugan. Definition, a person who farts in the bathtub and then bites the bubble. Why? How is that a thing that you want to do? What would make you... You know, I'm never making fun of anybody who wants to taste themselves after they come again. Never. Mm-mm. No one should be allowed to be made fun of if they want to do that, because this is far worse. You've got poo, you've got soap, and you've got water you've been soaking in for at least an hour. Gross. And finally, number 13, chode. Definition, a chode is a bunch of people that sit around and argue over the definition of the word chode. Oh. So if I get a bunch of people around who argue over the word chode, then they are all chodes. But what if people talking about chodes are watched by other people who they themselves start talking about chodes and then they become chodes? Is chode like a virus? By the way, there's another one. I thought 13 was the end. I was wrong. I was trying to trick you. Because I'm evil! Number 14, Jordan. Definition, Jordan is a beautiful boy, usually with dark brown or black hair and brown eyes. When you first meet a Jordan, he will seem very standoffish. But once you get to know him, you will see he is kind and a loving person who is very funny and just wants to be loved himself. Once you see a Jordan, you can't help but smile. Jordans are also very attractive and stylish. I don't call them Jordans. I call them He-Mans. You know what? Let's just be honest here. We know what's going on with this. I can't grab things. I have massive biceps. And I'm into He-Man. All right? I've admitted it. Fine. Gay marriage is legal. I want some of that man meat. I do. Maybe, if we were finally to get together romantically, and we had a moment of pure bonding. And we fell deeply in love and decided to finally get married. Perhaps Prince Adam would give He-Man away. But that's thoughts for another day. For today... For today, we have completed what we set out to do. We have explored some of the best words when it comes to the Urban Dictionary. They are fun, they are glorious, they are wondrous in my eyes, and I hope you have enjoyed learning new terms that you can use in your everyday. It's not the kind of thing that we expect to be using, but you know what? If we can expand our vocabularies, I feel like we all improve as a society. So, for Euphemism Theater, I have been Skeletor! Dark Lord of Eternia, and hopefully someday ruler. I think that Eternia would do much better with a comprehensive educational system. Perhaps they, in fact, want a high-speed electric rail. I don't know. I just think these things up, usually in the bathtub, when I'm not biting bubbles that I fart myself. Because that's frickin' weird. And that's coming from a guy with a skeleton face. But this has been Euphemism Theater. I would like to thank you for joining me. I fully appreciate you. And, as always... until we meet again!